How many believe that a testimony, your testimony is very important? Your testimony. When I speak of testimony, I mean the character that's in you. The word testimony is the word martyria, which we get our word witness. The question is, how is your testimony? Is it a good testimony? Is it a bad testimony? And what can you do with the help of the Lord to see your testimony become everything that God wants it to be? You know, the Lord's placed a message on my heart this week, in particular in the light of our dear brother going on to be with the Lord in heaven, about our testimony. How to build, here's the title, how to build a stepping stone testimony. You know, we can either be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. And the question is, what kind of testimony do you have? And we're going to look at a man today that had a testimony that counted. How to have a testimony that counts. That's the message. How to have a stepping stone testimony that counts. Life only comes around once. I mean, we've only got one shot at this thing called life. And everybody knows that life is so brief. And what we do, we better do it now. Your testimony now. People are watching us now. People are reading us now. And so my challenge and encouragement to you is to examine your testimony before the Lord. Bottom line is this. What do you want people to say when you are gone? Our brother Sonny's with the Lord now, but what do you want people to say about you? You know, if the Lord Jesus tarries, we're all going to face death. I believe the Lord could come back in a moment, no doubt about it. Truly, the imminence of the Lord Jesus is an obvious fact. But at the same time, until he gets here, your testimony, what people think about you, what people say about you, how people see you, what God is doing in you, what God is doing through you, what kind of testimony do you have today? And what are people going to say? You know, I thought about those three men when they were walking by each other and they asked each other, I said, well, what do you want people to say about you? When they walk by your casket and look in, what do you want them to say? One man said, I want him to say, well, he was a good daddy. I talked with a man last night. He called me. We were talking about Brother Sonny. We were praying up until about 10:30 last night. And he was talking about the influence Brother Sonny had on his life. And we rejoiced together and thanked God for what the Lord has done and is doing. One man said, I want to be remembered when they look at me in the casket as, well, he's a good daddy. He was a good daddy. Somebody else, another man spoke up and said, I want them, when they look at me in the casket, to say, well, he was a good husband. He was a committed husband. The third man spoke up and said, I want them, when they see me in the casket, to say, look, he's still moving. About y'all, but anyway, what kind of testimony do you have? And there are three parts to building a stepping stone testimony that counts. Three parts. Here are the parts, and we'll turn to the text in a moment. Number one, what do people say about you? What do people say about you? Oh, yeah, they are saying stuff about you. You do know that, don't you? What are your friends saying about you? What do people say about you? Number one. Number two, what has God done in you? What has God the Holy Spirit done in you? And then number three, what is the Lord Jesus doing through you right now? Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Stand to your feet, if you would, please. You're able. And let's read the text today as we consider the thought, what is your testimony? In Acts chapter 16, I love this account of this young man that for the last few weeks you've been studying your Sunday school lesson, this letter to Timothy. And as we were studying that in our men's group together, God just began to quicken some things in my heart. And in the book of Acts, chapter 16, the first building block, the first place to go of building your testimony is this: what others think about you. What are other people saying about you? I want you to notice this man in the Bible and notice what others were saying about him. People are watching. People are reading us again. In the book of Acts chapter 16, we begin reading in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. But before we read, let me just back up and bring us into context. You're well aware of the fact that Paul the apostle, who was once Saul, a murderer, a persecutor of the church, has been gloriously converted on the road to Damascus. And the church of Antioch laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, sent them out to carry the gospel, the good news. And they'd gone on their first missionary journey. He'd been stoned, left for dead, and nevertheless, God did a work, and now they've reported back to the church of Antioch. And now here is the beginning of the second missionary journey. Paul decides to take Silas with him. Barnabas, on the other hand, takes John Mark with him. And we pick up right here in the text of Acts chapter 16. Notice, and then came he, speaking of Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew. Now we know what her name was because he listed it over there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Her name was Eunice. Her grandmother's name was Lois. Notice it says, Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew, a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Notice verse 2, underline it. What kind of testimony do you have? What are other people saying about you? Look what they said about this young man called Timothy, which was well reported. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. All right, verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Timothy believed in becoming all things to all men, that by all means might save some. And the Jewish bloodline would have been passed from his mother. Therefore, in my own personal opinion, that is why Paul took him and he was circumcised. He didn't necessarily have to be, but yet he wanted to become all things to all men to be able to reach everyone above. Now then, look at verse number 4. Well, let's look at verse 3 again. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. But of verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them and were ordained of the apostles and elders and of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. We're going to turn to other passages, so hold your Bible open, and we'll be looking at several other passages in just a moment. Let's pray and ask God to speak to our heart about our own personal testimony and what God wants to do to improve your testimony, to give you greater influence. I'm convinced that none of us are doing everything that we could do and what God wants us to do. Let's pray that God, in his mighty power today, will help us to examine our heart, to see where we're at and see where God wants to take us and what the Lord wants to do through us, until that day we too shall face being escorted into glory. Father, now in the name of Jesus, thank you for the blessed word of God. I praise you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Lord, thank you that as Garrett sang a moment ago, you did come looking for me. I wasn't looking for you. You came looking for me. And thank you, Jesus, you came to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, I couldn't save myself. I couldn't help myself if you had not sought me out. If you had not turned on heaven's searchlight and reached down in the miry clay and got me out of a life of sin. Lord, I was destined for the lake of fire, but I'm eternally grateful. And I'm going to praise you, Father, as you help me to praise you throughout all eternity, because you did rescue me from the clutches of the devil. And I pray now this morning, your resurrection power will be available for every man and woman, boy and girl. And we just worship you today. We thank you, Jesus. And Lord, as I look back on Brother Sonny's life and I see what you've done in his life and how he was not ashamed of the gospel, was willing to testify and tell others while there was time. Lord, he understood. I'm convinced, Lord, to spend a time with him. He knew the time was short. He knew that what he did for you, he had better do it now. Because, Lord, you said, Jesus, work while it's day, because there's a night coming when no man can work. Oh, God, we pray now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you cut us loose from the world and from the flesh and from the devil. And Father, you build in us faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Our God, that you'll help us to look around and see. Others need to get to you. And Lord, people are indeed watching us. It's all about you. I'll fumble and fail and stumble and Lord, fail miserably tomorrow. Yea, today, if you take your hand off of us. We're totally dependent on you, Jesus. And I pray you'll enlarge our coast. Every one of us here in the house of God today, Father, you'll enlarge our coast. You'll give us greater influence and you'll give us illumination and revelation and even appropriation from the living word of God. Lord, help us to be doers of the word. And Father, when all said and done, when we leave this place, we pray that you get the glory for it. Lord, I'm convinced there's others out there and in our family and in our community and in our schools and in our jobs, workplaces and Father, the marketplace and in our neighborhoods, God our Father, that need, Lord, a real touch from you. And we just trust you to do it. And thank you now for everyone that's here today. And God, we praise you, Jesus, for the worship and time as we sung and got around your throne. Now, God, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey and help us again to follow through on exactly what you tell us to do. Spirit of God divine, have your will and way. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. What about your testimony, beloved? Did you notice there were three distinguished characteristics about Timothy's testimony? Note this now. Number one, others were talking about Timothy. Number two, key leaders recognized there was something different about Timothy. Number three, Timothy's influence spread not only in his own hometown, but others around him. You say, Brother Pastor, where did you get all that? Look back with me in verse number two. Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. That is, Timothy's influence. They saw there was something different. Let me ask you a question. They were talking about Timothy. Can you imagine people in our neighborhood, people at your job, people in the school talking about you? Hey, I see that young man. I see that young lady. There's something different about them. Timothy was well reported of. They were talking, and it wasn't bad. Granted, it was good. They saw that Timothy was genuine. He was real. And speaking of talking about, I went to visit Brother Sonny this past Monday. And you know what, beloved? I tell you, we just never know. And I'm grateful to God for the time that the Lord allowed me to spend with him these last 14 weeks while he was in the hospital and then moved from west there to Wesley Woods and then from there to Rockdale Health Care Center. But I went to visit him on Monday, and I walked in the room, and there was a curtain covering where he was at, and Mary. He was sharing a room with another man, and the curtain was kind of covering him. I walked in. They didn't see me, and there was a lady sitting there asking questions. Here's the question she asked as I stood at the doorway. They couldn't see me. She said to Brother Sonny, as he was laying in the bed, Mary was sitting by his bedside, she said, "Name three presidents." Well, needless to say, that got my attention. I'm wondering who in the world he's going to name. I'm sitting there wondering. He's hesitating. I'm saying, come on, brother, name three presidents. He said, Harry Truman. He said, Ronald Reagan. And then he said, Jimmy Carter. I said, brother, how'd you get that list, man? I thought you were, but anyway. And they didn't see me, but then they had a meal right there. He was fixing to eat a meal. And so I said, I saw that he was fixing to eat a meal. I didn't even interrupt him. I just slipped on out of the room and went down the hall. There's another lady that was moved from the Muse. Her name is Ardelia. She was moved from the Muse to the same place, Rockdale Health Care Center. A precious lady. Her body has been racked with cancer. She's a precious lady. Got a powerful testimony. Now she's confined to a bedside. So I thought while he was eating, I was just going to walk down the hall and visit with her. I walked in her room. This is the first time I'd seen her there. She was at the Muse 2 weeks ago, and they just moved her. There's nothing else the doctors can do. She's going to be dying there, literally. And yet she's ready to go. I walked in the room, and like so often, I reached out my hand to shake her hand. She reached out her hand to shake my hand. I shook her hand, and all of a sudden, I felt something in between our hands. Something that was kind of unusual. Well, I shook her hand, and I pulled my hand back, and she pulled her hand back, and she said, "Pastor, they're my teeth." She said, "I don't have my teeth in." I said, "Yeah, I see that." Now, folks, listen, brother, I don't know how you feel about it, but I looked over at the lady sitting beside her, and she was playing with her teeth too, amen? I started taking mine out and started playing with them. Hey, I've shaken a lot of hands. I'm talking about thousands and thousands of hands, but I don't think I've ever shaken anybody's hands with their teeth in it, amen? I shook one lady's hand back last week down at the Monticello Nursing Home. I shook her hand, and I'm not going to tell you what she had in her hand, amen? But anyway, and speaking of that, it reminded me of the man that was supposed to speak when I did that. Needless to say, it was quite a experience. But I thought about the man that was supposed to speak, and he forgot his teeth. How many know what I'm talking about? He forgot his teeth. And so he said, "Oh, what am I going to do?" And so there's a man sitting beside him. He said, "Man, I'm fixing to speak in just a few minutes, and I don't have my teeth." Well, the man could hear him beside him. He said, "Don't worry about it. I got an extra pair right here." And he handed him his teeth, and he said, "Well, bless God." He said, "Man, I'm going to put these in." He put those teeth in his mouth, but he couldn't. He said, "Man, these things won't work. They just won't work. I'm just going to have to wing it without them." The man said, "Don't worry about that. I got another pair in my other pocket." He handed him the other pair. He put them in his mouth. He said, "Man, they fit like a champ." He said, "Lord, thank you so much for God sending me a dentist to sit right beside." The man said, "No, sir, you don't understand. I'm not a dentist. I'm an undertaker." But what are people talking about you? What are they saying about you? They said about Timothy, "Man, there's something different about that man. There's something different about that young man." Nobody was a young man at the time. Not only were people talking about Timothy, but number two, key leaders recognized there was something in Timothy. Do you see that? Look at it. It says, "The brethren." You got to see it. Look at it now. Chapter 16, verse number 2. "Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." That is, key leaders recognized there was something different in Timothy. Hey, how many want to be a servant leader? Come on. How many want God to use you to have leadership influence? And the word leadership, of course, means influence. Nobody's a leader unless God imparts to that, not in, when it comes to serving the Lord. But these, watch this now, these men recognized there was something different about Timothy. They probably saw that Timothy had some of those God-given characteristics of leadership. Maybe they saw the visionary faith that Timothy had. No wonder the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." Let's say that together. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Say it again. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no revelation. Maybe Timothy was a man of faith. I believe indeed Timothy was a man of faith. And Timothy was a man of vision. Tell me, are you a man or a woman of vision? Do you see beyond your own little world? Do you see what God wants to do in your life? Is God enlarging your coast? Is God giving you his vision for your life? Timothy, probably, in all indication, they saw he was a man of vision. Not only that, but they saw he was a man of faith. And not only that, but they saw probably he had been reading about Moses. You know, the Old Testament was given at that time. He probably read about one of the greatest leaders that ever lived in the nation of Israel, and that was Moses. He probably read how Moses was raised up for a time such as that to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. 430 years, I might add. He might have read about David, the psalmist said David, and David was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever had. He probably read over there where it said in the psalm that David led Israel with the integrity of his heart and with the skill of his hand. He probably read about other leaders like Nehemiah, who rebuilt the walls, cupbearer to the king, then changed into a governor. He probably read about some of those great leaders that God has given us illustrations in the scriptures. And Timothy, no doubt, was influenced by that. So he was known by the people and the leadership. There were key people in there that said, "Man, that's something different about him. There's something that, tell me something, when people see you, when people talk about you, do they say, there's something different about him? He doesn't tell dirty jokes like the other crowd does. He doesn't watch all that filth and stuff. He's got a different lifestyle. He's dedicated to God. She's dedicated to God. She don't run with the other ladies to the bars and feel like she got to fit in with the crowd. There's something different about her. There's something different about him. I can see the hand of God on their life. And that's what they saw about Timothy. Watch this now. God saw Timothy and these in Lystra and Iconium. Notice, he was known not only in his hometown, but did you see that? He was known in Iconium. I want you to see this now. Look again in case you missed it. Verse 2. Which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Iconium. Paul and the Luke is recording these words in the book of Acts. Let me ask you a question. Do people know you outside of Mansfield? Do people know you outside of Monticello? Do people know you outside of Covington? What are people saying about you in other places? God enlarged Timothy's coast. How many say, bless the Lord, it's a good thing to have God using your influence in other places. Amen. And if you're one of those that God's just got you planted here and you're rooted here and you've got wonderful influence because of the grace of God, I rejoice with you. But in this case, the Lord wanted to use Timothy in other places as well. And even the other brethren over there in Iconium knew that he was a child of God. I talked with a man, speaking of influence, in whom I'm going to be able to preach revival meeting tomorrow night and Tuesday and Wednesday. He was showing me over there outside, we're talking out in the country, way out in the country in Edenton, Georgia. They're fixing to build a 600-seat auditorium. He's been there 7 years. John McMillan is the pastor. And God's doing the work. They're raising money right now. And they're going to build not only a sanctuary, but a multi-purpose building. And it is exciting. It really brings some precious memories of what God has done through his church here at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. No doubt God wants to use the influence of Crossroads Baptist Church over in Edenton, like he wants to use the influence of New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. Wonder what God has done in your life to the church. Wonder what God has done in your life. What is your testimony like? There's a second stepping stone that I see in the life of Timothy. Not only what others were saying about him, but number two, what God, the Holy Spirit, had done in him. You got to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see this about this young man called Timothy. What kind of testimony do you have? What are people saying about you? Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you hadn't had a good testimony. Well, praise God, today's a new day. You can't unscramble eggs once they've been scrambled, but praise the Lord, you can make a difference now. You can repent now. You can turn from your sins now. You can be born again now. You don't have to go the way of the world. Wide and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many will choose therein, but straight and narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, if any man wish to follow me, let him deny himself and take up a cross and follow me. Listen, my dear brother and sister, it may not be a popular life, but it's the only life to have. Praise God. I wouldn't trade anything for my experience with Jesus and the life that God's given me. I'm telling you, one day it's going to be worth it all when we see the Lord. It's going to be worth it all. Notice in chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, I like what Paul said about this young man called Timothy. I believe God's raising up some other young men right here among us today. And there's those of you that have been soldiers for a long time. I just want to encourage you to strengthen your hands, my brother. We're not home yet. We have still got a battle on our hands. The Bible's under attack. Moral values are just being destroyed and undermined in our country. We are in a war, we're in a battle. Not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now you remember, as we come to the book of Philippians, you remember that this is a prison epistle. Paul is in prison. And not only is he in prison, but he is chained to a Praetorian guard 24/7. Hey, can you imagine being chained to a man like Paul? Hey, can you imagine what those prisoners probably, and what that jailers probably heard day after day after day? Paul probably had to, he become all things to all men that by all means you might save some. I mean, you crack a door and no doubt he's going to step through it. Question, are you sharing your testimony? That is what God's done in your life with other people around you? Are you telling them, hey, it's not me, but it's Christ that lives in me, the hope of glory? I'm telling you, you got a testimony, brother. I'm telling you, you got a testimony, sister. And don't let the devil keep you from sharing your testimony. Not only your life, but your lips. Not only your walk, but your talk. Look what God said about this young man, Timothy. Paul wrote and said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, look at verse 19 of chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. Verse 19 of chapter 2. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded. Do you see that? I have no man like-minded. Isn't that a wonderful word that Paul said about this young man, Timothy? I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Oh, brother, this is a good word for that godly man Paul to say about his mentoree, about this young man Timothy. He said, I see the hand of God on Timothy. I see God doing great things through Timothy. He said this. He said, you know about Timothy. There's not many like him. He said he's just like, he's got a like mind. One Lord, one life, one love. He's got that koinonia, that fellowship with me. I don't have to wonder if he's undermining me. I don't have to look over my shoulder every time and see if he's trying to gather a group for himself. Paul said, I can trust him and you can trust him too. I endorse this young man called Timothy. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be endorsed by the Apostle Paul? Wow. And you see, there were a couple of thoughts that emerged from this text in my heart. Namely this. Number one, Timothy had a spirit of dedication. Timothy had a spirit of dedication. He wasn't like your average casual Christian. He wasn't just satisfied with just skipping in church and then skipping home and doing his own thing during the week. He had a heartbeat for God. He had a passion to know the Lord Jesus and the power of his resurrection. He wanted to be used of God. He wanted to be a spirit-filled Christian. He wanted God to maximize his influence. Do you hear me? Maximize, not minimize. So often we settle. Hey, listen to me, brother. So often we settle for less than heaven's best. I'm convinced that the devil whips us and the devil beats on us and we blow it and we mess up and then we say, well, God can't use me. I want you to know we serve the God of a second chance. God's not finished with you yet, sir. God's not finished with you yet, ma'am. Let's set our sails to heaven. Let's set our eyes on Jesus. Let's say, God, if God be for me, who can be against me? I know the world's not your friend. I know you're traveling uphill. I understand it's a battle every day. But thank God the battle's the Lord's. Thank God Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be upon you. I'm going to guide you into all truth. That is, the Holy Ghost is. And not only that, Jesus said, he said, I'm going to be with you even unto the end of the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God said, I'm going to be with you. I know you. It's not easy. I didn't predestine for you to have an easy road. I didn't intend for you to just go through life sailing your little merry way and building your little kingdom yourself. God said, I called you to make a difference. I called you to pour out into others. I called you that I might get glory through your life. You take your brother Sonny, for example. I believe what was said about him, no doubt God snatched him off of that, as Colossians 3 and 1 and 13 says, he delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. No doubt God made a trophy of grace out of brother Sonny Prince. I'm telling you, some of you may not know about his testimony and may not have heard him testify, but I'm telling you, God did a work in his life just like he's done a work in my life. Has he done a work in your life? I'm not what I once was, thank God, and I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I want to be everything that God wants me to be. I'm saying this, time's running out. I'm saying day is short. I'm saying life is but a vapor. I'm saying what you do for God, you better do it now. You better do it now, because there's coming a day when the Lord's coming back. There's coming a day when we'll take our last breath. There's coming a day when our heart will beat for the last time. There's coming a day when we'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and have to give an account. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord should happen to say to you or to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm telling all the heartache here below, all the struggle here below, all the stuff you got to wade through, and all the disappointments and all the setbacks and all the hardships and all the misunderstandings and everything else will just dissipate when we see Jesus. Can you hear me okay? I said, when we see Jesus, everything else won't be. It won't matter about bills. It won't matter about money. It won't matter about what kind of car you drove. It won't matter what house you lived in. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to know, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ is going to last. That's absolutely gospel truth. What was said about Barnabas, I think, could be said about Sonny. I believe, my personal opinion, as his pastor, spent a lot of time with him. Wouldn't take anything for it. Barnabas, the word of God says, he was a good man in Acts chapter 11. He was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of faith. I want you to know, Brother Sonny, he wasn't, well, I'm just fixing to step on some toes right here, but so be it. I'm telling you, Brother Sonny, he wasn't just a casual Sunday morning Christian, bless God. He was on Wednesday and Sunday night too. Can I get amen? He was dedicated. You count on him. Man, in the Wallace, he was sitting out there in that chair. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to make a difference, and he did make a difference. I said he did make a difference. You see, sometimes our testimony and sometimes our life, we just go through the motions. We go to work, we come home, we go to our family, and we just get wrapped up in a rat race of activities and frenzy of things to do, and we forget the main thing is to keep the main thing, amen, and amen, and amen. Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of faith. And the Bible says he was an encourager, that is Barnabas. But I noticed something about Timothy. He had a spirit of dedication. Well, you know where that came from, didn't you? You know where he got that, don't you? He got it, no doubt, from the Holy Spirit of God and from the Scriptures. How do I know that? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul was writing to Timothy and he said this, Timothy, since you was a child, you loved the Word of God. He said, Timothy, it was the Word of God that made a difference in your life. Verse 14 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It was the Scriptures, Timothy. It was that godly influence of that mama, Eunice. It was that godly influence of that grandmother, Lois. Timothy, you've known the Scriptures. And by the way, in the context of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's telling Timothy, he said, Timothy, I see that there's troubling signs. There's troubling signs. For the end times. He says in chapter 3 verse 1. Know this also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinent, false accusers, despisers of those that are good. Watch this. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. He said, Timothy, that's what it's going to be like in your day. He said to us today, that's how it's going to be like in your day. But he said, don't you get wrapped up in that. Don't you take your eyes off the Lord. You just keep fighting the good fight of faith. You just keep marching to Zion. You just keep holding forth the banner of truth. And I want you to know God will blaze a trail before you. He said, Timothy, it was the Word of God that built you up. It was the Word of God that will keep you from sin. It's the Word of God that will cleanse you. It's God's precious, living, inviting Word that's forever set in heaven. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, Timothy, that's going to enable you to do everything that God calls you. Listen to me. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said to that crowd over there in Colossae, I love what he said. I love this verse. Man, the Lord's been ministering my heart through this verse. Here's what he said. He said, take heed. Take heed to the ministry. Where have you been called by the Lord that thou fulfill it? That is, go on serving God. Don't you get bombed out with people and don't you get bombed out with all of this self and flesh and all this stuff. You just keep serving God. You just keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You just keep marching, soldier, because the best is yet to come. I said the best is yet to come. Timothy had a spirit of dedication. Timothy not only had that, but he had a spirit of not only dedication, but he had a spirit of a participation. Look at it. You didn't miss it, did you? Look at Philippians chapter 2 again. A spirit of dedication, a spirit of participation. Look what Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said in verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul said, I can count on Timothy. Paul said, I can count on him. I don't have to wonder if he's going to go AWOL on us. I don't have to wonder if he's going to teach you false heresies. I don't have to wonder if he's going to be a poor example for you. I don't have to wonder if he's going to stray from the scripture. I don't have to wonder if he's going to do his own thing. I know Timothy. I've invested in Timothy. I poured into Timothy. I can count on this young man by the grace of God. He's going to follow through. Who is God speaking to today? Who is God speaking to today? What lady here? What man here? Say, bless God, I can hear you, Lord. I can hear you calling me. I can hear you urging me on. I can sense, God, you're not finished with me yet. I understand, Lord. Here am I. Send me. You wouldn't say, here am I, send me like Isaiah? Well, look what else Paul said. In verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22. But you know the proof of him. That as a son, there's that word participation, the Lord quickened in my heart. He was had a spirit of dedication, but he also had a spirit of cooperation and participation. Look at verse 22. You know the proof of him. As a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. He said, man, he's been a co-laborer together. I want you to know one of the thrills, one of the greatest thrills I have as your pastor is to lock hands with you, lock arms with you, and say, bless God, there's a world out there that's lost that needs Jesus. Let's go get them. That's one of the greatest privileges I have is serving the Lord with you and watching God develop you and watching God mature you and watching God mature me and watching us do as a church what we can't do of ourselves. To God be the glory. Jesus is on the throne. He's coming again. And we had better make the best while there's time. What are people going to say about you when you're gone? He had a spirit of dedication and a spirit of participation and a spirit of cooperation. Paul said he's like a son with a father. Man, we've been serving God together through thick and thin, through battles and through good times and bad times, on the mountain and in the valley. Serving God's not always easy, as one brother says, but it's always rewarding. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Listen, God's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Can you hear me? I love this verse, Hebrews 6 and 10. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, which you show toward his name. I said, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. God counts the hairs on our head. God counts the sparrows that fall to the earth. God's named and numbered all the stars. And don't you know, if there's one cup of cold water you offer in his name, it's not going to go unrewarded. That's the Bible, folks. That's the Bible, folks. You believe the Bible? How many believe the Bible? God said, if you offer a cup of cold water. That's what he said. I didn't say it. He said it. I believe him. He said, you can't offer a cup of cold water. He that sows in tears shall reap in joy. The word of God says, give it, it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. It's not just talking about money. It's talking about your life. It's talking about giving love. It's talking about giving hope. It's talking about giving assurance. It's talking about giving the word of God to those that are around us. He that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. You want a bountiful harvest? How many want a bountiful harvest? How many want to be able to say, Jesus, I know I'm an unworthy servant, just like Paul said. He said, for example, in Galatians 1:15, he said, he separated me from my mother's womb that he might reveal his son in me. I'm about to have a shouting spell right there. Oh, bless God. Listen. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul said this, I'm less than least of all the saints that this grace was given to me, that I might preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many feel unworthy? Let me see your hand. I don't know about y'all, but I feel unworthy. I say, God, I don't understand, but all I can say is worship and worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that would call any one of us, that would save any one of us. And yet he does to serve him. Listen what Paul said to that crowd over there in Corinth. He said, you see your calling, brethren. Chapter 1, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians. You see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called. For God has chosen the foolish things of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, so that no flesh shall glory in his presence. When all's said and done, we've got to say, to God be the glory, great things he's done. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. But wait a minute, I thought about this this influence and this testimony and this relationship Paul had with Timothy. Wait a minute now. You ready for what I'm fixing to say? Are you really ready for what I'm fixing to say? Look at me now. Listen to me now. Do you realize, brother and sister, today? Do you realize we are what we are by the grace of God, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 10? And I want you to know grace has brought us safe thus far, and this grace is going to lead us on. And I want you to know this. Hear me now. You think Timothy was a self-made man? You think Timothy had any room to glory and boast in his own accomplishments? No. On the contrary, Timothy knew, watch this, Timothy knew that if it had not have been some godly men and some godly women poured in his life, he would not be where he was. I'm telling you and me today, we are who we are because God has raised up some men around us, and God's raised up some women around us, and God's raised up some Sunday school teachers, pastors and preachers and evangelists and missionaries and wives and husbands, and we have poured in, and we are pouring in each other. We are what we are because God has sent some people our way and helped sharpen us as iron sharpens iron, and we ought to give him the glory. Right now, who has God used in your life to pour into your life? Who is it that sharpens you? Who is it that encourages you? Who is it that's praying for you? Who are you praying for? Who are you pouring into? Who are you sharpening? Who are you determined to see God maximize what he wants to do in their life? Hey, brother and sister, Timothy knew, thank God, it was God's grace and God's goodness raising up people around him that made him what he was. A servant of God. There's a third stepping stone, how to build a testimony that counts. A testimony that counts. Influence. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. And let's look over there in verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, praise the Lamb. God has recorded in Holy Scripture what the Lord had done in this young man's life, Timothy. No wonder Paul said, I'm going to leave you at Ephesus. I believe that you got a like mind like me and Timothy. And there's work. The work of God is the greatest work on planet Earth, in my personal opinion. It's greater than anything else, in my personal opinion. Oh, yes, the work of God, the kingdom of God, the glory of God, the lordship of Jesus Christ, the greatest work. By the way, I believe God gets the best, deserves the best. Can I get a witness? Are you giving him your best? Are you? You giving him your best? Are you giving him your best? Are you? Our trouble is this. We get in the church and we start measuring ourselves with everybody else around us. Say, well, he's not real dedicated. She's not real committed. They don't do this and they don't do that. Next thing you know, it creates a stigma in a church. Can I suggest to you that we don't look at each other other than encouraging and praying for each other? But our example, yea, our life, and yea, our Lord, that's the one we need to look to. I can't hear you. That's the one we need to look to. Oh, because he's the one we're going to answer to, not anybody else. 1 Timothy chapter 1. There was difficulty in this particular church. You know the background of this church. According to the book of Acts, and Ephesus, and all this idolatry, and these myths, fables, fairy tale, bunch of stuff was going on. And Paul said, hey, Timothy, I got to send you back here, buddy. You need to stay here. And some say Timothy was probably 30, 35 years old at the time. I'm not really sure, but I know this. God used him. And God said, Timothy, can God count on you? I know we can count on him, but the question is, can he count on you? Can he count on me? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. And I'm skipping through a lot, but now the last stepping stone that in order to build a testimony that counts, God's quickening my heart, is this. One, what others say about you. Two, what has God the Holy Ghost done in you? Three, what is the Lord Jesus wanting to do through you? What is the Lord Jesus wanting to do through you? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read it together, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now the end of the commandment, and Paul's writing to Timothy here, get in mind, I just mentioned to you the context of why he's writing. Now the end of the commandment, yet he's not only writing to Timothy, hallelujah, he's writing to me and you too. Can I get an amen? The Bible's just as relevant today as it was then. Hey, we're not just reading a history book, folks. We're reading a book that's alive. And God's got a word for us today. Now the end of the commandment is charity, verse 5, love, in the midst of all this false teaching. in the middle of all this that's going on that's not right, Paul said, hey, Timothy, let the love of God flow in your heart. Can I tell you all something that you already know, but I just want to remind you? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. He didn't say you're always going to agree with everybody. He didn't say you're always going to see the eye to eye with everybody. He didn't say you're always going to be on the same page with everybody, but he said you're going to love everybody and you don't have to act ugly about it. You don't have to get your bat and ball and go home if things don't go your way. Hello. That's what he's saying. Don't take your bat and ball and go home with your poked out lips pouting. Get in the battle, soldier. Let's get out of the nursery. Get in the battle. Let's like God's helping us to do. There's a world out there hurting. There's a world out there that's lost. There's a world out there that needs to know Jesus is the answer. He's the only hope. And because he cares, we care too. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his heart. We're his voice. May God use your influence, my brother, this week. May God use your influence today. Look at verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And then look at this. And a good conscience. And a faith unfeigned. That is, without hypocrisy. Skip down to verse 19 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. How can I have a testimony that counts? What is God wanting to do in my life? Oh, God, I'm not what I ought to be. But Paul says to Timothy, he says, look, Timothy, conscience is a big thing, isn't it? Money can't buy that, by the way. Look at verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which having some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Hymenaeus and Alexander, he's talking about. Question, what's a good conscience? What's a good conscience? Do you have a good conscience? You feel guilty about anything today? What'd you do last night? Some stuff maybe you've seen, stuff you said. What's been going on this week? Are you right with your husband? Are you right with your wife? Are you right with your children? Are you right with your neighbors? Are you right with the Lord? You got a good conscience? Do you have a good conscience? Can I tell you what? A pill can't bring a good conscience, but the power of God can. A pill can't do it. A bottle can't do it. That's what folks are doing, trying to drown their sorrows away in booze. And it's a dead-end road. You still have to wake up the next morning and face the reality. It's staring you right in the face. We might as well get with God, start praying, start casting our burden on the Lord, and watching God Almighty do things what we can't do for His glory. You don't need all that stuff. You just need Jesus. I'm not saying at times there's not some temporary things that we go through this that we don't need to experience help, but I'm saying this, overall, a good conscience. What is your conscience like? Have you seared your conscience? Write this verse down. We won't look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Paul said this. He said, Timothy, in the last days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared. Seared with a hot iron. How in the world could people do what they do today? Well, I'll tell you, the alarm's been going off, woo, 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 and they've just been pushing the alarm button, turning the alarm off. God, the Holy Spirit's giving off His alarm. When we don't walk in the light as He is in the light, when we walk in darkness, the Holy Spirit of God says, that's sin. And we have a choice to confess it right then or say, well, everybody else is doing it. Hello. And that's going to determine what your conscience is going to be like. How many know it's a glorious day when you can lay your head down at night with a clear conscience? Amen? Isn't it a wonderful thing? How can I build a testimony that counts? How can God build a testimony that counts? One, a clear conscience. I heard about a man and his daughter were riding in the car, speaking of clear conscience. He's riding the car. He came up to a red light, and the light was red, and it said, no turning on red. Well, the man, just for some reason, he was in a hurry, and he turned on the red light. His daughter was sitting with him. And he said, as he turned, he said, oh man, I shouldn't have turned. I saw that was a no-turn red light and my conscience is bothering me. The little girl spoke up to encourage him and said, Daddy, don't worry about it. The policeman behind us, he turned too on the red light. I'm talking about a clear conscience. Amen. But wait a minute, not only clear conscience, but he said something in verse 5. He said, I need not only clear conscience, you don't need not only clear conscience, but we need, watch this, genuine love. Not counterfeit love, not put on love, not something I have to manufacture, but really the love of God just flowing through me, flowing through you. The only way that's going to happen is for me to die to myself and live to him. Can I get an amen? And the reason we don't love people is because we're all stopped up. We're all blocked up. And God's got to let the rivers flow once again. Jesus said, "Ho, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." John 7, verse 37. But wait a minute. Not only clear conscience, not only genuine love, but sincere faith. Do you see that in verse 5? He said, "Timothy, I tell you, Timothy, this is what's going to characterize you. It's how you build a good testimony. This is how you are a man of character or a woman of character." Verse 5, the end of the commandment is a good conscience, faith unfeigned, a pure heart. And so, Lord, I don't want to be cracked. And you know the story. Wax would be filling in the cracks. It'd paint over it. You couldn't see it unless you held it up to the sunlight. Those pieces of pottery. And if you saw it crack, you couldn't see it when they set it to you, except you held it up to the sun and then or light, and you could see the cracks, and it had been waxed over and painted over. Question: are you genuine? Are you real? The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. He knows our thoughts are far off, according to Psalm 139. He said, "I know when you sit down, I know when you lie down, I know when you come, I know when you go, I know your thoughts are far off." That is, search me, O God, and know the thoughts and intents of my heart. Lead me in a plain path. Have you got any will towards somebody? Is there somebody you're jealous with? Is there somebody you envy? Is there somebody you just really don't like? You despise them? One, a clear conscience. Two, a genuine love. Three, sincere faith. Four, a bold witness. A bold witness. How do I get that? And we won't have time to look at all these scriptures, but a bold witness. Paul said to Timothy, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Real quick now. And if you can't find it, write it down. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul said, Timothy, you know what God saw in Timothy? I love this. Now don't miss this. There's people around us today. You might see a shepherd boy like Samuel did, but God sees a king in them. Can y'all hear me? I said, God sees a king in that son of yours. I said, God sees a queen in that daughter of yours. And Samuel couldn't see, but God said, whenever saw a shepherd boy, like the song says, God saw a king. Paul, wait a minute, Paul saw something in Timothy. He saw something in him. What did he see? I believe he saw that gift of teaching in him. Stir up that gift of God. That's what he said in verse 6. He said, Timothy, I love being with you. Timothy, I'm praying for you. In verse 3 through verse 6, I'm praying for you. I love being with you. Not only that, Timothy, hey, grandmamas and granddaddies, when you get with your grandchildren, do you say, you know, I see God work in your life. I see the Lord at work in your life. Do you encourage him? Or is it always, well, you don't do this and you don't do that? God help us. Paul said, Timothy, I see that what was in your mama and your grandmother. I see it in you. I see God at work in you, Timothy. And he's urging him on. How many believe that we need to start encouraging each other a little bit more? Come on, talk to me. Encourage them. Paul said, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. And that word stir up is that word. It's by the fireplace and the fire's going out. You know, you throw another log on there or you start getting that bellows and you start fanning that flame and fanning that flame, buddy. And that's what God's saying to Paul, to Timothy. Fan that flame, man. Don't let that thing go out. I know that America's in trouble, and I understand all this Mickey Mouse stuff going on in Congress, but just don't get too wrapped up in that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let the fire of God burn in your heart. Reach out to lost people. Pray without ceasing. Keep marching forward, soldier, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Our redemption draws nigh. Stir up that gift. And what was that gift? I think it was the gift of teaching. I don't know that. I think it was the gift of teaching and preaching. I don't know that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said this, I charge you. I charge you, Timothy, before God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the witnesses. He said, Timothy, Jesus is going to judge the quick and the dead as he's appearing. Here's what he said. Preach the word. Preach the word, Caruso. Don't tell them your opinion. Give them the word of God. I can't hear you. Get with that person. Get with that neighbor. Get with that person that's not saved. Don't give them your opinion. Give them the blessed word of God. Man, the word of God's what gets the job done. Bold as a lion. Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are as bold as a lion.
Oh, I know we don't have all the answers. But he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. The time will come. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell you what you want to hear. Be real popular. Compete with all the other churches down the road. Use psychology instead of the Word of God. Heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Never preach about repentance. Never preach about sin. Everything's real positive. Oh, really? Last time I read, we're to preach the whole counsel of God, whether we like it or don't like it. That's right. The time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, from touch turn away the truth and be turned to fables. I've got to finish. A clear conscience, genuine love, sincere faith, a bold witness. I'm not finished. A good soldier. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith, Timothy. Will you be a good soldier? Can God count on you? Soldier, we're in a battle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Endure hardness, Timothy, as a good soldier. Toughen up! Toughen up. Toughen up. Stop whining and start shining. Stop crying about my needs and my this and I don't get this. And we all do it. Amen? God says, toughen up. Stop worrying about the trivial things. A good soldier. A diligent teacher. Paul said, Timothy, teach what I'm teaching you. Commit thou to faithful men. Be a diligent teacher. Pour into them. Are you mentoring anybody? Are you discipling anybody? Is there anybody that you know of in your family, in your house, in your neighborhood that you are deliberately, intentionally pouring into? Can I tell you? That is God's will for you, and that's God's will for me. For us to make disciples. Can y'all hear me? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always, even into the world. Instead of just coming and sitting and soaking and souring, I'm telling you, God's calling us to pour into others. You say, I don't know much. Tell them what you know. I don't know much either. Tell them what you know. Pray with them. Pray for them. Use your influence. Then last but not least, a good conscience, genuine love, sincere faith, bold witness, a good soldier, a diligent teacher, 2 Timothy 2:2, and last but not least, a winner, not a quitter. Be a winner, not a quitter. Be a winner, not a quitter. How do I know that? Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. Not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. Don't quit. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Winners never quit, and quitters never win. Don't quit. Determine you're going to finish faithful. I'm just saying, bless God, I'm going to finish faithful with the help of the Lord. I'm not going to quit this journey. I didn't start this by myself. God's going to help me through it. Watch this. And I'll be done. There's Brother Sonny. He's rounding that track. He's rounding that track. He's been on his journey for 80 years. He's rounding the track. He can say, I'm not home yet. I'm not there yet. But I can see I'm close to the finish line. I'm almost there. I'm not there yet, but I'm about to be there. And all of a sudden, the finish line comes in sight. I'm about there. I'm about home. I can see the finish line. And Jesus is there to welcome him. Come on in, son. Welcome home. Welcome to your new heavenly home. I'm telling you, it ain't over till it's over. And may God help us to be faithful until the finish.